A little bit of Johnny Cash for you this morning here on KVSH Radio, and we've been eagerly awaiting the arrival of Valentine Mayor Kyle Argenbright. Kyle joins us here in studio. Your other prior commitments wrapped up now, huh?
Yep, just got done with kindergarten roundup.
That's a big time in everybody's lives for families to get kids off to kindergarten. So.
It was cool. The schools are doing a great job with getting school back to normal.
Well, of course, last night I started getting some text messages and phone calls. I'm sure you had 10 times that many. Something showed up on the city council agenda yesterday to terminate the Valentine Police Department and the city manager. And first I wanted to ask you, Kyle, how do things get on the agenda? Who makes up the agenda and how do they get those things on there?
Yeah, so typically our agendas come out on Tuesdays. Tuesday, 5 o'clock is the cutoff for getting agenda items on the city council agenda. I'll tell you the process. Typically, it had been that the city manager can place an agenda item, the city council president can place an agenda item, or two council people can place an agenda item.
Okay.
Now, typically, these agenda items come with some sort of, you know, strategy or supporting documents, just so people can get educated about what's going on. Over the last couple of years, we've, you know, in the interest of collaboration and just hearing people out, we've just allowed any council person to put an agenda item on the city council agenda. So what happened was is we had one council member add some two late agenda items that caused me a little concern, and I think caused a lot of other council people as well as citizens some concern. And those popped up yesterday morning.
And so can they make an amendment to the agenda within 24 hours of the meeting? Is that what the rule on some other organizations? I don't know about the city. But.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's a little question, but, you know, I think the city manager, in the interest of hearing these things out and not creating a conflict, just, you know, put them on the agenda to be heard. And these items are, number one, it was to terminate the Valentine Police Department, and number two was to terminate the Valentine city manager.
And those did not come from the city manager, and they did not come from you, the council president. And so the guy who put those on the agenda has some reasoning to put them there, I guess.
Yeah, and in full disclosure, it was Andrew Ward that put them on there. I have not been able to talk to Andrew about what his intentions are there. I will say that these are concerning, though. In my estimation, these have zero legs. The police are doing a phenomenal job. It's funny, I had a buddy in Chicago ask, he's like, oh, have you guys had the protests come to Valentine? I said, no, we don't have enough police to protect the protesters from the locals. and he said, what about the defund the police movement? I said, that'll never hit Valentine, but apparently it has. So
some form anyway of that.
Yeah, and the other side on the city manager, you know, this city is really well run. We've got one of the lowest property tax rates in the state, and it's because it's an effective operation. And really, it's a vote of no confidence for the entire city staff, which is, you know, our electric department, our sewer department, sewer and water, our police department, our library. And these are really good people doing really good work, and they care. And I'm really proud of them. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of stress in the world right now, and I don't think we need to be adding unnecessary stress to people's lives. I walked into City Hall yesterday as soon as I got this, about 12:15, and I talked to everybody, and probably half the staff was there expressing really concern and disappointment with this agenda item. And I don't understand it, but and I don't see any situation where I would vote for either of these. But I guess we'll, you know, part of governance is process, and I seek first to understand. So we'll hear this thing out, and I'm sure it will be swiftly handled tonight.
I'm sure that Councilman Ward will have the opportunity to express to the crowd that's there of why these were brought up. I'm sure he's got his reasons somewhere of how they came up. I know the police department is going to be down a couple of officers from full strength because one was moving to another community and one was getting ready to retire. But my understanding was that, you know, they'd look to hire and move everybody back up to the 6-person police force.
Yeah, and you know, we've worked really hard to get up to that 6-person police force. It provides 24/7 coverage, and I mean, I hate to say this, but Valentine isn't Mayberry anymore. There's some risks around here that we've got to keep our finger on just to make sure that this is a safe place for families and citizens. And so, you know, we're a 6-person police force now. We had one officer that's moving, and another officer that left the force. And I don't know the details all around this, and even if I did, probably couldn't talk about them too much as their HR. But, you know, people make these decisions, and we've got to recruit them. But there's recruit replacements. But it's also, you know, it's kind of a tough time to recruit police officers. Sure. Right now. And you throw an agenda item on there to effectively defund the police, and that doesn't create a friendly work environment or a great recruiting environment, let's put it that way.
And that police force has been together, most of them, for quite some time. I think Nathan was the youngest member of the force there as far as years of service, for a year or more with the Valentine Police Department before they made a family decision, I think, to go to another location. But everybody else, a lot of law enforcement experience there, and longevity on this police force.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Chief Miller does a great job. There's just this community policing style that she's got that I think really fits. You know, cops aren't scary to kids, but they respect them. You know, a police officer once told me, I'm here to protect the assets of the community, and, you know, the primary asset is the people. So protect and serve, I think, is exactly how they do things. And I think part of this could be, I don't know that cities often have to have police forces. It could be the sheriff's then responsibility to patrol the entire county. I think Sheriff Osborne does an excellent job, but there's just kind of different strategies of enforcement between community police officers and, you know, sheriffs and deputies. Crawford, I was actually talking to a former Crawford City Council person last night, and they got rid of their police and had Dawes County Sheriff cover it, and it's not turned out to be a great deal for Crawford. Apparently it's been more expensive somehow, and you know, the coverage is not what they had been accustomed to. So, you know, based upon those other experiences, I don't think that's a model that we need to pursue at all.
We've been compared it sometimes with the Ainsworth community does that, but we have a 1,000 or more bigger population. We have a lot more tourist season during half of the year, and then of course with our friends on the Rosebud and stuff that add to our population and stuff as well, doing their business and stuff here. So there's a lot of things to a lot of balls in the air there to keep going, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, you really want quick response when you need it, and having police officers always on duty within city limits, that's about as good as you can get for a quick response for emergency services.
And you had said about the city staff and city manager, the audits always go pretty well. We never really find anything that's been a glaring problem area. The tax levies are down further than most other communities. The city really has, I think, run pretty well for the most part. There's certain things you just can't do as a city or a city manager. But so anyway, this will be on the agenda tonight. One of the first things on there, I would expect you'll have probably a full house.
I think we will. And it's, I don't know, I'm just annoyed, and I'm probably being more candid than I should in a radio environment. But it's, Valentine's got it going on right now. Like, we are doing the things we need to do to help Valentine move forward, to make sure that this is a community people still want to live in, that businesses can be successful in. You know, we're chipping away at that, at trying to crack that housing nut. We're working on fiber to the home, even though we didn't get this grant from the state for whatever reason. And so this is, I don't know, this is just all noise that detracts from the primary conversations we need to be having and that we have been having. So
the council meeting, 7 o'clock tonight, it is open to the public. If people feel like they need to be there to hear about these items, they're more than welcome to come. It could be standing room only, and you might not be able to social distance, but everybody can do their best on that aspect of it. So
yeah, and if come if you want. I don't, if people are expecting a long conversation about this, I think they might be disappointed. I don't think that this I guess my request is don't paint the entire city council with broad strokes based upon this agenda item.
And the way
that these agendas work, they're just items to hear, and effectively any one person can drop bombs on the agenda.
And let's hear what the reasoning is behind them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to hear it.
All right. Kyle, thanks for coming in. Appreciate the information in there, and we'll see you tonight.
You bet. Thanks, Mike.